Hello, welcome to Around the Table. I'm David Friary, and on this series of programmes we're going to be talking about Easter, about the meaning of Easter and its relevance today. Well, let's meet the panel gathered around the table.
Hi there, my name's Rob Childs. I'm pastor of Droylsden Independent Church on the east side of Manchester.
Hi, I'm Trevor Park. I'm a lay reader at St Michael's Church in Chester.
Hello, and I'm Stephen Dunning, and I'm a pastor in North East Wales.
So we come to our final programme in this series where, as a group, we've been discussing the Easter story, the fact of the Easter story, the meaning of it, and its relevance today. And in the last programme, we left the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, dead. He's on a cross, he died, he'd taken a punishment for sinners, and had laid his body in a tomb. But that's not the end of the story. Easter is not just about Good Friday, it's about Easter Sunday. So let's talk about these fantastic events that happen that make it so real that Jesus is alive. So what happened on that Easter morning?
Well, praise the Lord that it wasn't the end of the story when Jesus proclaimed it is finished and when he was buried. On the morning, the Sunday morning, the women, Jesus' followers, or some of them, go to the tomb with the intention of carrying out a procedure, a ritual which would have been quite common in that culture, to anoint the body with oil and with perfume. But of course, they know when they get there, they're not going to be able to get in because of the stone that's in front of the tomb and the guards that are there to stop anybody from stealing the body. So while they're talking about this, they arrive at the tomb and are astounded to see that it's open, and they find that Jesus is not there. And it's astonishing and it's amazing, and they don't know what to think. Has somebody taken his body? Where have they taken him? Mary speaks to somebody who she thinks is the gardener and says, "Where have they taken my Lord? Where is he?" But the minute he speaks to her, she realises that this is Jesus.
I feel like her eyes were sort of blinded in a sense, but then the last thing she'd been expecting, this couldn't possibly have been Jesus, could it? Because he's dead, and this just comes as a total shock.
He also had the fact, though, that when the women first get to the tomb, there's an angel who says, "He is not here, he is risen."
Yes.
And given that information, and that information is reported back to the disciples, but it's still hard for them to take it in.
Yeah.
Understandably.
Yeah.
As Rob has rightly said, it was by no means the end. If it had been the end, then that has many consequences. We would have no salvation, we would have no gospel, we would have no hope, we would have no future. But it wasn't the end. It was the opening of yet another chapter.
I remember a well-known preacher saying, well, back in the 1980s, I heard him on the radio, and I still remember this, when he spoke about the resurrection of Jesus. It was Easter Sunday program on the radio, and he said this. He said, "His resurrection is our resurrection." Jesus coming back to life is the first fruit. Paul says that, doesn't he? It's the first fruit of the resurrection.
Well, if Jesus hasn't come alive again, we can have no hope of a life after death. It's because Jesus is risen from the dead, we who follow him and trust him can look to our resurrection and eternal life.
As Paul wrote in one of his letters, if there is no resurrection, we of all men are to be pitied, because we've nothing.
And we've wasted our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. We're not to be pitied, are we? Because
no.
We know the Saviour. We know he's risen. Mm-hmm. Interesting that these first appearance Jesus made on this, after his resurrection, was to women. Is that significant?
It's the radical Jesus yet again. Yeah. It's the radical Jesus turning things on the head.
And in saying that, there's no way putting women down. It's quite the opposite, isn't it? In a society where women would be looked down and where the witness statement of a woman was not considered reliable. Mm-hmm. And Jesus went to those that were, in the world's eyes, in the time, that society that's unreliable, and he appeared to them. So any idea that Jesus putting women down is totally wrong, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Paul writing to Galatians says, you know, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek.
It was so often Jesus's pattern, though, to go to the weak and the vulnerable and, yeah, and the marginalised.
And to honour them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he went to those sorts of people, because he wouldn't have come to me otherwise. So, Jesus is risen from the dead. The Bible gives a clear story. And yet there are people today who say, oh, it didn't happen. It's all made up. You're just fabricating it all. What are the proofs of the resurrection?
Well, they saw him. The various disciples and others saw Jesus. We're told in the Bible on one occasion there were 500 people gathered together who saw him alive. They talked to him, they touched him, and so on. And we read in the first chapter of Acts that he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. He gave them clear evidence that he was alive. And to my mind, the greatest evidence of the resurrection is that the Christian religion today and over the last 2,000 years has grown from those few people. Is it really conceivable that a religion based on the resurrection of a person could grow to the numbers that it has if there wasn't a reality behind it?
Beyond that, I think we can rely on the accounts that we have in the scriptures. What did the apostles get from, what did they gain? What did they have to gain from sticking to this story? They all, to a man, died because of their insistence on the claims of Jesus Christ, their insistence on the reality of his death and resurrection and what that means for the world. All of them were put to death and died for that. They didn't gain anything, practically speaking, from it.
Other than their own suffering.
Yeah. They suffered. You read that throughout the New Testament, the suffering and the persecution that the church came under, and that the following generation of the church came under, who continued to insist upon the truth of the apostles' statements concerning what Jesus said, what he taught, and what he did. And not one of them changed their story. Yeah. Not one of them changed their mind and backed away from it.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you glorious hour. Joy to the world, He is risen. Alleluia, He's risen. Alleluia, He's risen. Alleluia, Alleluia. Just as He said, quickly now, go tell His disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to
me, one of the lovely accounts as evidence is the two on the road to Emmaus, and this stranger joins them, wonders why they're so downcast, and they say, are you the only person that hasn't heard what's happened, you know, about Jesus being crucified and died? Because at this point the two on the road to Emmaus didn't know that He had risen, and He spent the whole day with them, and they got to their home. Jesus was about to walk on, but they said, no, come and join us. And long story short, He broke bread at the meal that they prepared for Him, and at that moment they realised it was Jesus. And for me, one of the lovely verses in the whole of the Bible is, as He disappears, they turn to one another and said, didn't our hearts burn within us as we walked? And He opened the scriptures. Just two people, but a powerful account.
I was just thinking, John Wesley said that at his conversion back in 1730 something, when he said, I did feel my heart so strangely warmed. Mm. You know, the same feeling, isn't it, that in coming face to face with Christ, He does have an effect on us, doesn't He?
Yeah. I like Thomas. He gets a bit of a bad rep, doesn't he? Thomas is known now as Doubting Thomas. Mm. But he wasn't with the disciples when they first saw Jesus after the resurrection, so he hadn't seen Him. And he's adamant, like, unless I see Him, I won't believe. And I think that's a very rational and logical position to take. I don't think that's outside of the realm. I mean, that was the position the disciples were in when the women came and told them what had happened. They didn't believe. I'm sure they wanted to, but they found that very hard. But then Jesus comes. They're all together in this locked room, and Jesus is suddenly there amongst them. And Jesus goes up to Thomas and tells him, feel the wounds in my hands. Put your hand to the wound in my side.
That's what Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless he could see.
Yeah, and what does Thomas do? Well, as soon as he's presented with Jesus, my Lord and my God, he says, my Lord and my God, he bows down and he worships Him. And I think that's a wonderful demonstration of being presented with the reality of Jesus. Some people say today, well, if Jesus would appear to me, then I'd believe in Him. We have the testimony of those who were with Him. They're a great reason to believe it. It's true, it's real.
And we shouldn't forget that Jesus Himself, before the crucifixion, had spoken of His resurrection.
Yeah.
Even though the disciples didn't take it on board properly, nevertheless, there should have been an expectation.
Just going back to what you said about John Wesley, on the night that I accepted Jesus as Saviour and Lord, I was having a conversation with the minister of the church that I went to, and immediately I'd come to faith and accepted Jesus. I thought, I must go and tell my Christian friend And so I drove around to his house, and as I walked in and I said to him, I've just accepted Jesus as my saviour, he says, you didn't need to tell me that. I could see it on your face before you opened your mouth. Yeah, that's just a personal thing.
Yeah. Personal testimony, isn't it? That on this group, well, at some point in life, come to a point where we trusted Jesus as our saviour. We all believe the same things. We might have got to that point to different routes, might have taken longer for some than for others, but we've all come to that point where we say, like Thomas, my Lord and my God. It's a wonderful, wonderful story, isn't it?
Well, I resisted it for 22 years, but there is an account of a vicar preaching a sermon, and he quoted the fact that very few people over the age of 50 come to Christ. And that was an evening service, and he finished the service, went home to the vicarage, was having his evening meal, rapping the door, and it was this guy that had been in the service, and he says, I need to talk to you. The vicar says, well, can we make an appointment for later on in the week? And he says, no, I need to talk to you tonight. And the vicar says, well, why tonight? He says, well, tomorrow I'm 50. And he actually came to faith that night. Yeah.
So this message that Jesus brings, these handful of disciples now have, and then they meet, don't they? They're afraid, even though they see Jesus as being with them, and then they see him ascend back up into heaven, and they're still kind of afraid, aren't they, what the repercussions might be of this whole thing. And so they lock themselves away, don't they, in a room, the apostles, a number of other people, and they wait for this moment to happen, and a promise is fulfilled that Jesus said that he would do what to those in the upper room?
He would send his Holy Spirit. And that was fulfilled 10 days after the Ascension, 50 days after the Resurrection, day of Pentecost. And the Spirit came upon the early disciples. Yeah.
And they went out to fulfil the commission that Jesus gave them just before he went back to heaven, to go out to all the world to preach the good news, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we're kind of part of those ends of the earth people, aren't we? It's not just in the area of the Middle East, but right across the world, the gospel has now gone out. So if somebody's listened to this programme or these series of programmes and you're thinking, there's more to this Jesus than I thought. Maybe he's thinking, I've gone to church all my life. I consider myself religious. Maybe even if you've done all of that and you're now thinking, but I've never trusted him as saviour. If you're like that, you're listening to this now, what should somebody do about it?
I would encourage somebody to do two things. I would say, read your Bible. If you don't have one, get one. You'll find it online for free. Read your Bible. Read the gospel accounts. Read about these people who were with Jesus. Read about Jesus himself. Read his words. And find out for yourself what he said. Don't trust just in what other people have said or what you think might be true. Find out what God's word, the Bible, says about Jesus. And the other thing I would encourage you to do is to go to church, to listen to that word preached and applied, to listen to it explained, and to meet with Christians, with people who are living with Jesus today, and see how Jesus is working in the lives of men and women today.
And perhaps a third thing I would say is this here at the radio, we could send you a book that would help you to understand that. And if you'd like one of those little books that we've got, then please contact us via the studio at flamecr@gmail.com, flamecr@gmail.com. We'll all be at our church, I'm sure, over Easter. So tell us, what's going to happen at your church over Easter? What's so good about it? What will be happening?
Actually, on Easter Sunday, I'm not going to be at my church. I'm preaching in a couple of other churches and looking forward to it. Easter has always been my favourite time for preaching, much more so than Christmas. I love everything around Easter because it's really at the heart of the Christian message, the death, the resurrection. And just to be able to go and tell people that message on Easter Sunday is such a privilege to do. On Good Friday, the church I attend joins with another church for a joint Good Friday morning service, and that's usually a good time of fellowship as well.
One of the most exciting things, I think, about this Easter coming up in our church is that we've got a baptism coming up, so we're really excited about that. One of the ladies in the church has been coming for a couple of years. She was saved some time ago, but never got to the point, there's never been the right moment for her baptism, and now she's going for it. She's actually in the States with some family at the moment, but she's coming back. And then on the run up to Easter, probably I think on Palm Sunday, we're going to have a baptism service. We're really looking forward to that. On Easter Day itself, I'll be preaching at church in Droylsden, and like you, Stephen, I'm really look forward to preaching at Easter and to explaining and showing people the wonder of the gospel.
Pretty much what Rob and Stephen have said. Good Friday will be the service. I'm actually preaching at that myself. It's probably going to be a service solemn in a sense, and we consider the agony and the suffering that Jesus went through, but it's not solemn to the point of despair, because we know that's not the end of the story, as we said earlier on in the program. And then on Easter Day, the celebration, He is risen. And that just sums up Easter Day. He is risen, and the multitude of things that means.
I'm preaching on Easter Sunday, and I'm thinking of taking as a Bible reading the story of the wise men who visited the baby Jesus. Because, well, what did the gift speak of? Well, myrrh spoke of his death, didn't it? But gold speaks of his kingship. And so I'll go on to preach of the humiliation followed by the exaltation of Christ. Some churches have this proclamation on Easter Sunday: the Lord is risen. The congregation reply,
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Tombstone said he has risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to
thank you for joining us today on Around the Table here on Flame CCR. As David Friary and his guests Rob Childs, Stephen Dunning and Trevor Park have concluded their discussion on the meaning and relevance of Easter. If you would like a free booklet about Easter, please email flamecr@gmail.com requesting the Easter booklet and leaving us your name and address. Alternatively, phone our studios and leave your details. The number is 0151 643 1696. If you wish to discuss anything raised in this programme, please also contact David. Those contact details again. The email is flamecr@gmail.com and the telephone number is 0151 643 1696.